Blog Talk Radio.
Never mind the stars in the sky. Never mind the when and the why. Got a feeling higher than high. This is the real thing.
Along with my multi-talented, beautiful co-host, Miss LaShawn, and we are here tonight. Can you believe that yesterday was Valentine's? I'm talking about Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day. And you know what? You know why I'm thinking Thanksgiving? Because I'm thankful. Because I'm thankful every day for being able to see each day. So that's why that came to my mind. Is just the word thanks, you know, being thankful. But you know something? I would love to be able to hear some comments from some of you lovers out there that are listening to the show. I'd love for you to find out exactly what went on during your Valentine's Day. I think you'll find some very interesting stories out there. But in the meantime, we're going to remind all our callers to dial into the show at area code 347-843-4559. And if you want to be heard on the show, click 1 and to be placed in the queue. And actually, it's click 1 and the star sign to be placed in the queue. And our executive producer, Mr. Kevin Vaughn, is going to mention the last four digits of your phone number only, and for security purposes. When you hear your last four digits, that means that you're live on the air. Now, I know LaShawn's got a great, I know she can't tell us everything, but I know she's got a great, great story to tell us about her Valentine's. I'd love to be able to hear that. How you doing, Miss LaShawn?
I am doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Productive,
very productive day.
Good workout. Yeah, very, very good day. Time going by fast. Going by very fast, though. I can't believe that we're already in mid-February already.
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody always says that the time is going by fast. I'm like, no, it's not. Time is going at the exact same speed that it always has.
That's true. People
get older and they act like the clock changes. Like now we're down to 23 hours a day as compared to 24. Time is not going anywhere. It is just our perception of time that has changed over the years. So I want everybody to be mindful of that. You have the same amount of time. Now, you may not be alive another 40, 50 years. Now, that may be why you feel the time is growing shorter. But time is actually the same. And I would like to know, how did you spend your Valentine's Day? We're going to start off with you first, and then I'll tell you about mine.
Actually, mine was very pleasant and actually kind of quiet. I actually worked last night. My Valentine started where I went to the gym. I worked out in the morning on my regular routine, went to the gym. And as soon as I left the gym, which was around 11:15 yesterday morning, I decided to stop by a store. And actually, I went by a couple of stores. And I went and bought my honey some balloons, rose, some stuff for her office, which I do every year. I surprised her again. You would think that by now she would figure that out. But I ended up stopping by her office, and I had I even bought I sent a candle for her receptionist. And let me see, what did I get? Roses. I've got four balloons. What else was there? A vase, a heart-shaped glass vase with kisses, the kisses candy filled up in the vase, and a card. And then I had a couple more things waiting that she hasn't even received yet that are in my home. She hasn't received it yet. And anyway, I dropped off at the went by the office and dropped everything off to her, which was a surprise. And she couldn't talk because she is she's an accountant, and she was in the middle of tax season, so she was very, very busy, and she couldn't even talk. So the receptionist, you know, went and got her, and the look on her face, she's like, "Oh my God," you know. And so she was all happy and everything. So I caught her by surprise again, and then afterwards, after work, we had dinner. We had a very quiet dinner together, and believe it or not, I went into the recording studio. Did an infomercial yesterday. So it's one of those kind of things where that's something that I really enjoy, and she sat beside me and watched me work, and that's something that we just, you know, we love to do. So that was pretty much it, you know. But I do have some plans this weekend, because it's very difficult during the week with our hectic schedules, but I do have some plans coming up for the weekend. So that's pretty much what I did.
Cool. Now, did you receive a gift? And am I allowed to ask that question?
Sure. Well, yes and no. She got me a balloon as well, which I wasn't expecting that. And she gave me a card. She gave me a very nice card. And that's what I received. I received a card and a balloon. And it was funny because I ended up getting her four balloons, and she only received two at the office. I have two at the office and two for home. So she hasn't seen the other ones yet. And then there's some additional gifts that she hasn't seen yet. So it's kind of still kind of ongoing. But yeah, I just received the card, and I'm a simple guy when it comes down to gifts. I kind of like more giving than I do receiving, to be honest with you. I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's the ego thing. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I really like giving.
So you prefer And I'm just talking about just for Valentine's Day. You prefer to be the one giving gifts. You're not really big into receiving them.
My receiving gift, you know what I like? It's just affection. It's just the fact that I know they're there, they're healthy, and that's good enough for me. I don't really need to have the material things, and it's just I like giving the gifts because I love to see the expressions on their face, and I love the surprises. But receiving them, no, it's okay. I mean, I'm very appreciative of it, but I don't really demand it. I'm just really simple that way. I just love to give.
Awesome. That's very beautiful. You know, I remember when I was in college hearing a lot of women say that it was just very important for them to get a gift. And I always remember asking them, like, okay, so are you buying him a gift? And some of them were like, yes, and some were no. And I found that to be very interesting because if it's a day for love and relationships, then I felt that it should be reciprocated, that there shouldn't just be the woman receiving all the gifts. And I think that's why a lot of men don't like to celebrate Valentine's Day, because it's like roses that were $12 a couple weeks ago, now all of a sudden they're $50, $60.
Right, you know, exactly.
There's a serious, you know, inflation on whether it's roses or teddy bears or whatever, but anything surrounding the holiday, now all of a sudden, you know, there's this price increase, which is absolutely crazy and funny to me at the exact same time. And a lot of men, so they feel pressured. You know, they hear we have this, you know, holiday, and they feel very pressured to spend a lot of money and to go all out. And of course, there's all the comparisons a lot of times between women, depending on what they got or didn't get. So it's just a very interesting phenomenon. So I always like to hear from guys, you know, as a man, you know, what's your perspective on it? And it's interesting because when I was talking to Lindbergh and I asked him, I said, well, you know, what would you like? And his thing was, this is your holiday. And I was like, what do you mean? No, it's not mine. I was just like, it's about us. But he was just like, but it's more your thing. You know, he could live without it, you know, or celebrate it. And he's fine either way. So I thought that was really interesting. But he still got gifts because it just, you know, I love to see other people open gifts and everything else. So it was just a lot of fun for me. So that's the way I like to do it personally in my relationship.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, LaShawn. And I think a lot of it, men in general know that there's a lot of commercialism in these in our holidays, especially Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is really structured around the female. It really is. You know, the hearts, the candy, the bears, all that stuff. That stuff is really it's really catered towards the females. And I do understand the pressure, but at the same time, a lot of it has to do with your relationship that you have with that significant other. Because if she makes you feel pressured, see, I don't feel pressured in regards to, because usually when I give a gift, I don't need a holiday. I don't need an excuse or a reason to give a gift. And so when I give a gift, it's really, they know it's coming from the heart, and it's the effort that they see in general. They see that you know, you're making the effort and you didn't forget. But yeah, it is commercialism. All of the holidays are pretty much that way. And I think that in regards to receiving for men, I think more Christmas is our mentality. We know that's a balance, a more of a balanced holiday, that we know that we're going to receive gifts as well as giving gifts, as well as Father's Day and birthdays. And that's really enough for us. That's really enough for us. And I've got a problem with Mother's Day. See, I don't like the idea that Mother's Day is only one day a year. I have a problem with that, because Mother's Day to me is almost, it's like every day. I think we should celebrate like Mother's Day like at least once a month. Well, I do, because, you know, we kind of take for granted that we don't realize what these women do. Because, you know, when you're a mom and the things that they do to take care of and raise these kids and have their careers and take care of their man, that's a lot of responsibility. It really is. It's a lot of responsibility.
It really is, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because a lot of it goes unappreciated, you know, that amount of work and everything else is thrown into that. So, yeah, so Mother's Day, ladies, if you're a mom, AJ is trying to get Mother's Day put on the calendar every month of the year for you.
Boy, I don't have some haters, boy. I don't have some men hating me.
The funny thing is a lot of women would simply appreciate. You don't even have to do a holiday. She doesn't even need a gift. Go get the kids and take them for a day, a weekend. I mean, a full 24 hours, a full 48 hours. And shoot, that's enough of a holiday for most moms. So
you are absolutely right.
And for some of them, get rid of the kids and the husband. Woo, you got a happy woman right there.
It's so funny you said that, LaShawn, because I have a neighbor. I have neighbors that it's a couple, and they're a fairly young couple. Let me put it this way. I think the husband is older, but they're in their 40s, probably early 40s, late 30s, and they have five children. And the couple, as far as their biological children, they only had two. And just recently, within a year and a half, they took on three additional children from her sister, which were her niece, and it was their niece, her niece and nephew. Her sister passed away, and instead of the children going to the state, she adopted her sister's three children, and so now she has a household of children that range from a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, two 11-year-olds, and a 14-year-old. And when I heard that story, and every time I see her, she's always doing something. I mean, I see her routine. She has this minivan, and the kids go to private school. So, you know, that's costly right there by itself. And so she's taking them to a private school, which is out of the area. So it's probably at least maybe 45 minutes to an hour away. So she's got that daily drive. And then every time I see her, she's in the yard and she's got the kids and they're just always doing something. So just the other day, I came home from the gym and I saw the kids and I said, and I went to the oldest daughter and I said, you know, and I saw the mother and I said, when's the last time you went on a vacation? And she looked at me and she said, what's that? I said, oh, okay. So I went to the oldest and I said, you know what? I know how tough it is that you're trying to take care of these babies because it's a 1-year-old and 3-year-old. They're 1-year-old, 3-year-old, and they're boys on top of that. The oldest is a girl. And I'm sitting here thinking, I said, wow, that's a lot of responsibility. And I was sitting here thinking, I said, you know what? You guys need to plan something where you can just take care of those kids just for one weekend, a Friday and a Saturday. And I was even willing to help out, you know, just for the parents just to get away. Just for a weekend, just to get away to kind of replenish themselves, you know? And that's when I realized that is so much love, and the kids are happy, and it's so much love to see. And I look at that, I said, you know something? There's a lot of people who wouldn't have taken on that responsibility. Because once you get done passing, you know, changing diapers, you ain't going back to that again. You know what I'm saying, LaShawn? Once you get past that situation, I know I'm not going to do it again. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking, how in the world did you go from a 14-year-old down to a 1- and a 3-year-old? You're back in the diapers, and you know, that is hectic. That is a big shock to the system. That's a big shock to the family, and she does it very well. Well, actually, both of her and her husband, they do it very well, and I praise them. And I look at that, I said, you know something? That's something that you didn't have to do, and you did it out of love.
Right, that's a lot of love for those children and for her that passed. That's beautiful, and I wish them all the best because that's a lot. So
I hope
you got some really special handmade gifts and everything else.
Exactly.
For Valentine's Day, because she is giving out a tremendous amount of love.
Hey Kevin, how was your Valentine's Day?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, hey, it was great, AJ and LaShawn. It was powerful. Very, very, very nice. Very, very nice.
Okay. You had dinner? Yeah, you had dinner.
Basically, what I did, because I worked yesterday, so LaShawn and AJ, what I did is I took a chance on getting a gift basket which I didn't, really know what she wanted, but I kind of picked the best gift basket I could find. And in the gift basket was a pocketbook, LaShawn. Nice pocketbook was in there. They had some, I think it was some lotion. I didn't really look at it real close, but I think it was some lotion in there. There was a towel in there for her as well, and some candy and some other good stuff in the basket as well. But I got her a big gift basket. But what I took the chance on, I wasn't sure if she liked it. So I had to ask AJ and LaShawn. I had to ask Denise, did you like it? And she said, yeah, I love it. So I was happy.
Good. That's a great thing.
I was happy.
See, that's what I'm saying, LaShawn. That's what makes all the difference in the world is how does your mate receive you? It's not about the gifts. It's about how do they receive you? And, if part of that is actually in your book, too. And speaking of your book, for our new listeners, LaShawn has a book. She's an author of a book called I Am Not an Option. Now, that didn't count for Valentine's Day because, yes, you are an option in Valentine's Day. But
the subtitle
is called.
Hold up. Let me finish up what he was going to say. Get the book at IamNotAnOption.com. Run the words all together. IamNotAnOption.com. The subtitle is A Woman's Guide to Self-Love and Relationships. There's an electronic copy and a paperback copy that you can get on the website. So check that out. IamNotAnOption.com. Okay, now you got to clarify that.
I like to tease everybody. I like to tease LaShawn because I had a hard time. I struggled with that title from the very beginning until I started reading the book, and then I had a much better understanding because I thought it was really bold that I am not an option. But see, I was joking with that because I turned it around and said, yes, when it comes down to Valentine's Day, you are that option. You are the option for me to be able to, I have to give. I have to, you are that selected option for me for my life. It's the way I was looking at that. That's what I was trying to say.
Nice cleanup on aisle five.
Well, that's the way I was trying to say it, really. It's like, I always wonder, back in the day when I was back in my player days, I remember when Valentine's Day, and I used to sit here and have to write me a list and thinking, it's like, oh my God, what am I going to sit here? And I got to get gifts for so-and-so. And I was sitting here thinking, back in those days and how much money that I spent just for that day and how ridiculous it was trying to. But, at the end of the day, it worked, and it kept everybody going. And, and it was like, oh, he's so sweet.
How did you split up your time? How did you split up your time?
There was a time when I was in my early late teens, between the age of 19 and 23, 24, I actually dated 5 different women.
At the same time?
At the same time. Yes, at the same time.
So how do you do that on Valentine's Day?
Well, on Valentine's Day, the first thing you do is make sure that everybody's separated. That's the first thing. And so you go back, and that's when we didn't have all the computers and everything. So I had to sit down with a pen and pad and write next to their name and think about their favorite colors and the things that they want. And so the key thing was flowers. So, they all like flowers. So I said, okay, I've got to get flowers for such. Then you got to think about, okay, what is it that I can get that can be, that's very universal? So bubble baths, it was things like that. And then always stuffed animals. There was always teddy bears and things like that. So I literally, just like what Kevin was saying about those baskets, I used to buy several baskets. Matter of fact, I knew somebody personally. And I used to put my order in. I used to get my order in like a week in advance.
Now I understand about the gift giving. So you buy all the gifts, but how did you divide up your day? Did you see everybody in the same day? Did you do breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert?
It's called scheduling, really tight scheduling. The way I did it at that time, I was employed with CBS at the time, and so I was traveling a lot. I was in a band, and I was traveling, and that was my savior. That was my way of being able to handle the schedule, because they knew that I was only in town for a certain amount of time. So basically what I did was, each person had a degree of, you do a gymnastics, you got a degree of difficulties.
Wow.
Well, each one had a degree of difficulty. So basically I had my priorities. So my first two were my major priorities. And so I made sure that I saw them. So I made sure I saw the first two, and that was basically my entire evening. And then the next day was the remaining three. And that's how I did my Valentine's. But check this out. I'm gonna end it with this one. On my 21st birthday, the guys in the band, I was the youngest in the band. That was another thing too. In the band, I was the youngest, and so what they did on my 21st birthday was something that just kind of blew me away. We had a birthday party at my home, and they invited all of my girls, all of my girlfriends. They invited every single one of them, and they did it on purpose to see how I was gonna turn out. And do you know that I was able to maintain all of them except for one? All of them came to the house, and it was surprising, because now I'm looking at the couch, and I've got three girls that I'm dating sitting next to each other, and I've got another girl in the chair, and I've got another girl coming from a cab coming inside the house. And I'm sitting here like, okay, this is how you guys have played that. And they're sitting back, and they're just chuckling and just like, yeah, we want to see how you're going to do this, Mr. Player. We want to see how you're doing this. But you know something? What taught me a lesson? The ladies were sitting down, and the first thing they asked me, well, how do you know him? That's the first thing they're asking. Oh, well, you know, I met him in a band. I met him on tour and blah, 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 this and that. So they're telling their stories and how they met them. And then I remember hearing one girl ask them, she said, well, did he tell you that he was seeing other people? And you know, she said, yeah, he told me. And do you know that during my birthday, do you know they actually said one thing that one thing I can say about it, do we like what's happening? No, we don't like it, but he never lied to me. That was the key thing that everybody said. He never lied to me. He asked me if, you know, and remember when we started doing the show together, LaShawn, and remember I had that comment, I said, don't ask me a question if you really don't want to know the answer.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I used to use that same technique back then in my early 20s, that same technique. I would tell a woman, do not ask me a question if you do not want to know the answer. So if you don't want to know if I'm seeing somebody, don't ask me. Because if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. And you might not want to hear the answer. So do you know that I got through that evening, and they respected me because of the fact they said, you know what, I can't be mad at him. He treats me nice. He treats me well, and he didn't lie to me about it. And other ones just said, I never asked him.
Mm.
So that's how I've been able to maintain multiple relationships at a very, you know, at a very, very young age. And I was able to maintain that. And then as I've gotten older, when I started getting into my late 20s, then it got to the point where it started really getting old. And then as I started getting into my 30s, I started realizing that, yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. But then I started realizing that a lot of my friends started getting married. My peers, I started seeing the people around me, they're getting married, settling down, having kids and things like that. So I think a lot of it has to do with your circle, the circle of people that you hang out with and what influences you. And so I've never experienced being married. I wanted to get married when I was 19, and I told you that story a while ago. I wanted to get married when I was 19, and I haven't been married. I have been in relationships where it was like a marriage. You know, we were living together, and we did all the things that married people do. But at this point, I'm kind of glad. I don't really have any regrets in regards to not getting married, because I just don't think it wasn't the time. It just wasn't the time. I had a lot of growing up to do, and I had a lot of issues that I had to work through, you know, after being abandoned. And so this allows me to, even reading your books, and that's another thing. I was into relationship books at an early age. I was reading relationship books when I was like 19, 20 years old. And because I always wanted to know what people were going through and wanted to find out what their experiences were. And I wanted to see what their perception, just the key word, which you said, their perception. I wanted to see what the perception was about relationships. So I don't have any regrets. And I don't have really female enemies over the years. I still have good friends that are past relationship, and I'm still good friends with them to this day.
Interesting. Very good. All right. Well, and my only take on that, because I think it's time for us to go to a break, but real quickly before we go to that break, I will say this. Ladies, part of what he said is part of the reason why I wrote the book, I Am Not an Option. Never, ever, ever allow any man to back you into a corner to the point where you are afraid to ask him a question. If you want to know, ask, but I will say this, you do have to be prepared for how you're going to answer him, how you're going to respond, what you're going to do from that point forward. And with
for
that,
sure.
We can go to the commercial break.
We'll see you at the commercial break.
Welcome to the Love Unlimited radio show. This new show will offer listeners a unique perspective that will come from both married and single individuals who are trying desperately to find and maintain that true love that everyone so much desires. Dating shows are nothing new, but they're nearly always entertaining. Some of the most weird and awkward moments in dating are often not seen or mentioned. The question is, how many people in America ever find true love? I would guess not a high percentage, but that sure doesn't mean we don't keep trying at any age.
The Love Unlimited radio show, hosted by AJ and LaShawn, will give you the real scoop in a positive perspective. We will discuss those topics that most tend to keep to themselves or just too embarrassed to talk about. Everything from online dating, marriages, divorces, along with conversations from LaShawn's new book, I'm Not an Option. This show is provocative and informative, giving our listeners an interactive voice they can use to help find that true love.
Tune in each week as we will discuss topics and conduct interviews on love and relationships in the new millennium. You can hear us directly on your smartphones each week by dialing 347-843-4559. Once again, that's 347-843-4559. Or follow us on Twitter at LoveUNL Radio. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh. I'm glad the week is over. I need to get away. Go home and throw my clothes on. Come get you right away. Can't wait to see you looking lovely. I hope you're thinking of me. Cause all I want is time with you and don't need nothing more. So
love that comes from my soul.
I do anything for you.
LaShawn?
Yeah.
I would love to get some comments of anybody. Kevin, do we have anybody online? Anybody that's called in? Because I'd love to be able to hear some stories about people's experiences during their Valentine.
AJ and LaShawn, not at this time, but we are sure waiting for them.
Okay, definitely waiting for them. You know, LaShawn, you had me thinking that, remember I said that I was reading relationship books at an early age, and I was heavily influenced, even though as a black male, I was heavily influenced with Italian movies, especially mafia movies. And
oh, me too. Wow.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me as a, you know, growing up. And the reason being is because the order that they had in their families, the men did love their women, but everybody had their place. And one of the things that I noticed that in their culture, they would basically, the woman handles the household, handle the kids, but she stayed out of his business. She would never question him about what he's doing. He did his little stuff on the side, whatever it was, whether it's, you know, whatever business he was doing, but he never allowed his woman to question him about what he was doing. And so growing up at a young age, I thought that's how it was supposed to be in any household. Because if you think about it, we're influenced by the things that we see and how television has basically carved influences, you know, for a lot of young, you know, a lot of young kids going into their adult. And so I thought that's how things were supposed to be. The woman was at home taking care of the kids. The guy was a breadwinner. He went out there and, you know, brought home the, you know, the food, did the work. And then whatever he did on the side, he did on the side as long as he took care what he was supposed to take care at home. And I really thought for the longest that is exactly how it was supposed to be.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
How long? So, well, and you know what? And, well, and there are a lot of people that have that belief system that comes from multiple places, not just television and movies, but a lot of people have actually been raised up that way. I mean, I've literally had men tell me that they were told by their fathers and their uncles that, you know, just so long as you don't hit a woman and you provide for her, you get to do whatever else you want to. And I was just like, what?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right.
And how is that? But you're absolutely right. And, you know, even one guy saying that as he got older, he realized that he didn't want his son to be raised up with those same values and principles. So he decided to teach his son something different. And I thought that that was really great because he said he sat around and he thought about it. And after he had hurt, you know, several women himself, he finally got to the point where, okay, this is not cool. You know, this is maybe what was done. but this shouldn't continue to be so. So I have to give him a lot of props for that, and I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because that's a great segue into our next topic of conversation, which is what people call now side pieces. that other person when you are in a relationship, whether you are married or just in a committed relationship, but there are other people, sometimes multiple people, that are there on the side. And I will never forget, a few years ago, I heard for the first time, I was listening to the radio, and I heard one of the DJs make a comment about the day after Valentine's Day being Side Piece Day. And he literally said, "Happy Side Piece Day." And the other people in the studio fell out laughing, and I was just like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? But this is known as the day when the other pieces, the other person, gets to go out to dinner, receive their gift, and I guess whatever else they are going to do throughout the day, this is when they get their quality time in. And I remember when I first heard that, I was just absolutely positively mortified, because I couldn't believe that it has grown to the point where it's being broadcast. I mean, at least back in the day when we were growing up, there have always been people since the beginning of time. But when did it switch over and get to the point where now it's almost being celebrated? And, you know, it's a really crazy thing. And there's a song on the radio right now. I don't know who it's by. I heard a tiny little bit of it the other day. And somebody called it the Side Piece Anthem. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is absolutely crazy. But, you know, this is what's going on. And, again, I think that it's absolutely crazy. And it's funny because yesterday, Lindbergh and I, just because of scheduling, we weren't able to really get together and do anything. We did see each other for a little bit, but we didn't really get to celebrate Valentine's Day yesterday. And for those of you who've been listening, you know that we were doing the 14 days of Valentine's anyway. So I've been getting a gift every, you know, single day this month and everything, a gift in some, you know, shape or form. And it's been a really, really beautiful time. And it was interesting because some ladies had asked him, well, what are you going to do on Valentine's Day? You know, it's the big day. It's day 14. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to be kind of busy, so we won't be able to celebrate it until the day after. And he said the women stopped and they looked at him and said, simultaneously, on Side Piece Day? And I fell out laughing.
Wow.
Because it was funny, because I actually had the exact same reaction. I was like, we're going to do it on Side Piece? And so we started laughing. But I don't have any trust issues in my relationship. There's, you know, there's none of that going on within the relationship. But it's just funny how this thing, this, I don't want to call it a phenomena, but this occurrence that's going down, that, you know, just the popularity of it and how weird that can be. So, you know, it's funny. And, you know, he and I actually did go out to dinner today, and we sat there and we kind of laughed about it and everything. But it's just interesting to see how everything shifts and how things change when it comes to relationships over time. And, you know, just dealing with all of that. It's just, you know, very, very interesting to me.
Well, it is very real. It's a real issue. It's been around for a very, very long time. I think that the hip-hop industry has basically modernized it, I should say. Yeah, I think the hip-hop industry, because they're the ones that came up with, you know, started bringing in all these, you know, these lyrics. And basically, I think a lot of the lyrics, which I don't like about the hip-hop industry, is how they started degrading women. Because back in my day growing up, or our day growing up, Kevin and myself, we didn't call women the B-word, and we just, there's certain things we just didn't do. And,
right.
But that whole side piece thing, that has been around for ages, but what I realized, the root of that still comes from economics. That's the root of it, because people feel like whoever makes the most money has the options to be able to do what they please, because they're basically making they're making their way. They're making the way for everybody in that household. So if it's my money that's making the way for everybody in the household, then I have the right to do whatever I choose to do. And that's where everything starts. So what's been happening, if you look at it, for the past 30 years, the women now said, okay, so if this is the game that's going to be played with you guys because you feel like you're making the money, then we're going to start making the money. And then we're going to see what your reaction is going to be. Now we're going to start making the money, and we're going to start becoming the shot callers, and we're going to start seeing other people on the side and see how you feel about it. And that's exactly what has happened. And the interesting part about that is it's a totally different reaction for men than it is to women. Because in general, men do not like sharing their woman. Whoever their intimate woman is, the person that they really are intimate with, they do not like sharing them. And once that woman has been, let's put it this way, once that relationship has been violated by another man, we have the tendency, we have lost a percentage of interest. As much as we were into them, we have lost a percentage of interest in that particular person. Only because we know now that in our mentality, we felt like that has been tarnished. And that's how we feel.
Yeah, she's no longer yours, you know, that whole thing. And, you know, and it's quite unfortunate, which I see the reason. I do believe that economics does play a very, very big part in that. And, yes, women beginning to make their own money, be able to take care of themselves. Even now you'll hear a lot of people talk about you need two incomes in order to make it and that whole thing. And so that does begin to shift everything, because at the end of the day, there's a saying of he who has the money has the control. And,
correct.
You know, there's a whole lot of that that's true. I even remember a really good friend of mine saying one day that she believed that if there were more women that had their own money, talking about, you know, because we were discussing housewives or women that just have like a small job, but, you know, they don't really make any significant income. And she said that she believed that there would be a higher divorce rate if the women who were housewives were able to go out and get a job that would basically cause them to not need their husband. And I have a tendency to agree with her, because when someone has the money, they basically have you up against the wall unless you're willing to say, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't care. I will go take the kids, go live with my parents, live in a small apartment, do whatever. But sometimes having the lifestyle and the persona becomes more important than actually getting the respect that you deserve in a relationship. So, you know, all these different things happen. And, you know, it's unfortunate when there are women that date or not just date, because dating is a part of it too, but when they're staying in a relationship regardless of whether it's a marriage or they're just dating each other, but they stay in it simply because of the financial aspect. And they know that he, like you said earlier, doing everything up under the sun, and they greatly dislike it, but they don't see another alternative. And that's why I always say, ladies, go out, make your own money. However, whatever type of lifestyle you want to live, find a way to make the money on your own, and then that way you don't have to worry about it. So if you decide to stay, you stay for a whole different set of reasons, but you're not worried about your basic survival simply because everything is tied into that norm. And I also believe that, you know, it causes them to respect you a little bit more as well. What do you think about that?
When
a woman has
definitely.
No
question about it. I have been in relationships where the woman made a considerable amount more than I did. One woman was a state judge. Yeah, I think she was a state judge. And for me, I really didn't have a problem. Once again, it's going to go back to the same thing that I said. It has a lot to do with how the person reflects back on you. Because can a woman have a respect for a man when she is the breadwinner or she's making more money than him? Yes, she can. Because a lot of it still has to do with how does that man treat her? Does he respect her? Okay. If he respects her, and it doesn't matter that she makes more money than him, because for me, it didn't really bother me that, or it really didn't bother her at all that she made more money, because she said from the very beginning that has been a problem, an issue in a lot of her past relationships, that men were very uncomfortable because she made, you know, she made a couple hundred thousand dollars a year compared to a gentleman that's making 75,000 a year. And,
yeah, he thought he was doing something until he met her, huh?
Right, exactly. And so, he was cool. I mean, he was maintaining this house, had his little car, you know. And so she told me that that was a major problem when we first met in her relationships. And then she asked me right off the bat, do you have a problem with that? I'm like, well, it's not my money, so why would I have a problem with it? It ain't mine, you know. And so she took it upon herself to say, well, you know what? You're pretty cool. You know, you can. And to me, it really didn't matter to me, because as long as I was still paying for dinners, I was still taking her out. And she had a problem with me not accepting when she wanted to, you know, she wanted to pay the bill. And one particular time, she wanted to go to a particular restaurant, which was a high-end restaurant where the average meal was like, by the time you get done, you're probably about $130. And she didn't have a problem paying it. And I worked my butt off to make sure that I could, you know, to take her there and say, okay, I'll take care of it. And she's, no. And she literally took my card and put it back and took her card, her platinum card, and, you know, and paid the bill. And she said, I hope you don't have a problem with that. And what she told me was, I like the way you treat me. And see, that was the whole key. And see, that just goes back to, once again, is being honest and being respectful. And that's the key, what I found, to most women, no matter where you're from and no matter what your economic status is how do you respect that person? And we talked about this, LaShawn, actually in your book as well, that men have a different approach to relationships compared to women. Women approach their relationships more with their heart. We approach a relationship with our wallet.
Mm-hmm.
We truly do.
And I think that's why so many men get so intimidated, and why the woman that you were dating was having such a difficult time. Why the men were having such a difficult time with that. And it's funny, because that actually brought up a little story from my past. And the gentleman that's mentioned in the book by the name of Drake, I remember when we were together, our salaries were always right around neck and neck. But I would have to get my raises before he would get his. So every time I got a raise, it would bump me up above him. And oh my gosh, when I tell you, he would have a fit. And
wow.
I was sitting there laughing because he could not stand it. I mean, if it was just a penny more than me, he would have been happy. But it being a few dollars, a few thousand, whatever it was, I don't even remember the amount now, but I remember him just being livid about me making more money than him. And it took him until it was time for his raise to come around for him to let that situation go. I mean, it literally bothered him. And it was just like, wow. And it wasn't a significant amount. Like I said, they were so close, you know, neck and neck, so far as the dollar amounts were concerned. It just amazed me how much that affected me. You know, so it just goes to show that, you know, for a lot of men, that is a problem. Because, again, if you feel, like I said earlier, the old saying about he who has the most money is in control, if they feel that they need to be in control of a relationship or of the woman that they're dating, then, of course, him having less money makes him feel some sort of way. And, you know, I know right now a very beautiful couple
that got married about a year or so ago, and she makes a significant amount more than her husband does, but they travel all the time. They have a really great marriage, and I remember hearing him say something about what you just said earlier about all you need to do is treat a woman right. He said, if you just treat her right, you're honest, you're faithful, and you're just good to her, she will give you anything in the world that you want. You know, and he actually admitted, he said, you know, I'm living a lifestyle and I'm doing things now that I would not be able to do on my own. But because she is in my life, I am able to do these things. And I thought that that was just great because they actually work it out. So, you know, that just goes to show that it can be done. And I think it was also a breath of fresh air because I'm always hearing women talking about finding men that make as much money as they do, especially in the African-American community. White community, not a problem. But in the African-American community where Black women are, you know, really they're far ahead of the men, you know, so far as, you know, income is concerned, and finding men that make around the same or more becomes more of a challenge as we have the number of Black women that are educated. And I mean, and they're just going for it, you know, and they're making the big dollars, which is really, really great for them, but can be a little difficult when it comes to dating.
It is. It goes back to, once again, because in the African-American culture, there's more female graduating from college and business schools than there are males. And because
right.
of that, once again, it's because now the salaries, they're the ones that are receiving the higher salaries than they are with the males. And it becomes very difficult and very challenging for the women. But at the same
mm-hmm.
time, at the same time, I have noticed in my personal experiences that women who make a significant more amount of money than their partners, what I've noticed that they still seem to maintain, there's a certain class that they maintain compared to men. And this is by for an example. Women don't feel like they have the need to have multiple partners just because they're making six figures or seven figures. They don't feel like they need
right.
to have multiple partners. They want to spend their money on their wardrobe, on traveling, you know, personal things that they like, but they don't feel like they have to be a player, so to speak. Guys who make a significant amount of money, they have the tendency of feeling that, well, you know what, I can be a player because I got enough money to be able to do what I want to do, and no woman's going to tell me anything. No one's going to tell me what to do. And see, that goes right back again into how were we raised? What did we see growing up? And so one of the things that I don't like is how television has influenced a lot of our younger adults that are coming up behind us, because television has now influenced our personal relationships so badly that we feel like a woman who's making more money, we can't afford her hairdos, we can't afford her nails, her spa salons, all these things that she feel like that she has to do to keep her self-image up, we can't afford it. That's like a third of our salary just trying to maintain which is pocket change to her.
Right.
So it goes back to my original saying is a lot of it has to do is how do you treat her? Put the money aside. This has nothing to do with money right now. How do you treat her when you're with her? Do you make her feel like the queen that she is? Do you respect it? Do you give her compliments? Do you make her feel good about the two of you? And at the end of the day, that's really all a woman wants. She just wants somebody that's going to be understanding, someone that can communicate, somebody that is going to be able to put her first at times, someone that's going to be able to understand what she's feeling and what she's going through, because she's going through a lot making that money. And see, that's one of the things that we have to take in consideration, what she has to go through to make that money.
Right. Right. So, and you know, And I'm glad that you said what you just did, because that pointed out something very valid, which is the issue for men isn't really the women and the amount of money that the woman makes, but it's the lack of money that he makes and ultimately how he feels about himself. Because kind of like what you said to the lady, it should be a situation of, well, it's not my money, why do I care? You know, why would I even allow that to bother me? But if he feels that his importance and his significance in the world and a relationship comes from his ability to be able to provide and provide more, then of course he's going to feel like he's not doing all that he can do and that he's coming up kind of on the shorter end of the stick. So I completely get that. I completely understand it. And I think it's also a really sad thing, because there are some people that are probably missing out on some really great relationships simply because they can't put ego aside. And you and I have talked many, many times about the male ego and what that does.
The male ego actually sets us back, is what it does.
Oh, yeah.
The male ego, and we have to get to a point when you get to a certain age in your life. Like, for example, for me, I'm 58 years old. I'm going to be 59 in a few months. And to me, I'm just a hair, you know, I'm basically 60 years old. So to me, my mindset, based on my experiences, is I don't really care about the amount of money that a woman is making. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going after anybody on welfare, you know, someone who is struggling. I don't want anybody that's going to be struggling. But at the same time, now I have to think about, what am I bringing to the table? What am I, how my retirement years are going to be? Because this is how I'm thinking. I'm thinking about my retirement years. I'm thinking about how I'm going to be able to spend that quality time with her, not worrying about where I'm going to get my next paycheck. That's where my mindset is right now. It's still about achieving, being very successful, but at the same time, in the meantime, while I'm getting there, I still need to maintain that certain class of how I'm going to treat her. I still have to treat her the same way. I still have to respect her. I still have to give time to her. I still have to – all these things that you have to do, it's something that you still have to do no matter what. Now, if you have more money, you can give more. You can do more. You can just do more with it. Because if you're doing something, whether you're doing a little getaway, a weekend getaway locally, or you're doing a weekend getaway in another state, that makes a big difference as far as money. But how you're treating her, it doesn't really – it's the same. If you treat her the same way as you do locally, as you do long distance, she's going to be happy with you no matter where you go.
Right.
No matter where you go, you know, no matter where you go. And once again, it goes right back to what skill set have you, you know, have you acquired learning how to take care of your mate without worrying about the money. You have to, it's the little things. It's little things like, here's an example. This is kind of embarrassing. I don't get embarrassed very easily, but I have a foot fetish. I like to take care of my lady's feet, I should say. And what I mean, I have the little pedicure thing where you, what do you call that? I can't remember what it is, but it's a little battery operated, and it smooths out all the you know, the rough skin and things like that, and the lotions. And that's something that I had. I knew that that was important to me. Once again, I was a teenager, and I knew that a woman would love to have her feet rubbed. And I knew that watching a woman do the pedicures and a woman that takes care of her feet, I love women who take care of themselves. Now, that's another thing. Women who take good care of themselves, that's an attraction to me. But there's a lot of women out here who don't necessarily take care of themselves. All they do is paste themselves. They glue and paste themselves up every day. And there's a difference between pasting yourself up and literally just taking care of yourself. I'm attracted to more of a woman. I'm serious. I'm attracted to a woman that has that has natural, you know, that looks natural. She's okay with her natural hair. She does her nails. She keeps her feet looking nice. She keeps her hand looking nice. She takes care of her skin. That means a lot to me, because how you take care of yourself is a reflection of your character. So when I see that, I love to compliment that. So if I see that you're taking time to really take care of yourself, I like to compliment that. And I noticed those are the little things that women really appreciate. So when, you know, I love to be able to lotion your feet, you know, take care of, even paint your nails. I even request, hey, let me paint your nails. And it'll be like, oh, wow, that's sweet of you. Yeah, that's sweet of you. And I, you know, how many guys would do that? And he's like, no, I don't ever have any guys that need to do that. So I find myself doing odd things that a lot of women have not experienced with their mates or their exes or whatever the case may be. So to me, I have learned it's the little things in life that go a long way. And it starts with communication, because if you don't communicate with each other, how do you know? And if you're in a relationship where you can't communicate with that person, or you're afraid to express, if you're afraid to express who you are, you don't need to be with that person. If that person makes you feel uncomfortable about expressing who you are, now, how you do it, that does come into play as well. It doesn't mean that you have to be overbearing, over-talking, you know, trying to over-talk her, not letting her get a word in. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, you have to be able to feel comfortable about you first. If you feel comfortable about you, when you get around that other, because it's energy. It's nothing but energy. That's all relationships is. It's just a combination of energy being passed along, you know, passed and circling around each other all the time. So if you come around that woman, and if she still makes you feel good about what's going on with you, then that's a good reflection. That's a very good reflection. But if that woman makes you feel irritable, or she makes you feel uncomfortable because you don't make enough money, or you're not doing this and you're not doing that and you ain't doing this, if she makes you feel that way, you need to make some other decisions. So it goes right back to what you originally said about your book. It's about self-love. Everything that we talked about this evening still starts with self-love, because if you love yourself, and women said the same thing to me, I hate to see a well-dressed man and then I get down his feet and he's got ashy feet. They say the same thing. He is well-dressed. He smells good, very well-groomed. Oh, man, his feet, man, look like they ain't been taken care of. Look like he's been walking, you know, walking barefoot in the trails. And I never understood that. And there's a lot of men that do that. There's a lot of men that don't cut their toenails. They turn around and got these walking around on these claws, and you know, they're ashy from the ankle, you know, from the ankle down. And I didn't understand that either. But see, my mother was the one that taught us about taking care of our skin, because if you don't have anybody to tell you to do those things as a male, if you don't have a father or a mother to show you that you need to take care of yourself regardless, you're not going to do it. Where are you going to get it from? You're going to wait until you get embarrassed and some girl, would you take your shoes and your socks off? She'll be like, whoa, get them claws off of me. And you sit up here propping your feet up on her and she's looking at you like, hey, I ain't need these bear claws up on me. Or as we call it in the neighborhood, the dogs, you know, get them dogs off of me.
That's funny.
It is funny, but those things can be embarrassing. It's those little things that can be embarrassing, or seeing a woman, you know, she goes into the bedroom and she's getting ready for the evening, and next thing you know, she's taking everything off. And when I mean everything, next thing you know, you looking at this person like, is that the same person that went in a few minutes ago? Took everything off. Hair,
you know,
nails, eyelashes, breasts, butt, everything just disappeared.
Everything just downsized. And do you know, because of that, because of what you said, everything got downsized. You're so wrong for that. I remember years ago having this when they started coming out with those full body garments for women. And I was saying that I don't even understand why, as a woman, you would want to wear one of those when it completely changes your figure. Because what happens, like you said, once it comes time to become intimate and you take that suit off, then everything looks completely different. And I said, I would feel much, and I would personally hate to see the look on a guy's face after you've done something like that, because I know he's looking at you like you just said, like, oh my gosh, what is this? You know, because it's not the same thing. So, you know, that, you know, being comfortable with your body, and if you don't like it, get in the gym. Get in the gym, start eating right, and get all of that to change, because those things are important. You know, being attractive is important. You know, taking care of ourselves is important. And it's funny that you even brought that up, you know, about taking care of feet and your foot fetish, because one of the gifts that I got for Lindbergh was actually a pedicure, because he likes to go and have his feet done. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, get him a pedicure as one of his gifts for Valentine's Day. So I thought that was just... Yeah, and I thought that was, you know, really great idea and everything else, and, you know, but it just goes to show that, you know, giving people, sometimes it's the things that they need, it's not always the big flashy things, but the things that let you know that you're important, that the person thought about you, and, you know, I really think a lot about that, because whenever... there was a post that I made yesterday for Valentine's Day, and I called it Valentine's Day Wisdom. And I said, for couples, make sure that you appreciate the gift. Make sure that you appreciate the giver more than the gift. And for singles, what was the message for the singles? It's slipping my mind right now. About giving yourself the love that you deserve, whatever love you desire, to give it to yourself. And if you choose to, go buy yourself a gift as well. Because, you know, there are so many people that go through that. And I'm sure this affects, you know, women more than it does men. But going through the whole thing about being single for Valentine's Day, it's okay. You're going to live. You know, there's 364 other days.
Like, right.
You'll be okay. You really will. And, you know, even with that, for some of the couples that celebrate, you know, doing it happily. Because, you know, a lot of single people forget that there are a lot of married people out there who wish they were single right now. Who
That's
did
true.
Not have a good time yesterday, you know. And I always say that Valentine's Day, it really is, you really shouldn't have to celebrate it in your relationship, and you know that you have a really good relationship. I hope Lindbergh isn't listening, but you know you have a really good relationship when you don't even have to celebrate the day. Because I still like gifts, but you really shouldn't have to. And when you live a life where I believe that you should be dating anyway, you know, you should always be dating your mate. You should always be taking time to celebrate each other and just be nice and kind and just enjoy your lives, period. And when you live like that, Valentine's Day is really just another day.
Another day. You know, it really is.
It's just another day. But I think the greatest thing about the 14 days was a comment that he made about every day I get the chance to stop and really think about how much I appreciate you. And I thought that was the best thing ever.
That's awesome.
And the gift that was the dearest to my heart was not the one with the highest price tag, but was the handwritten letter that he went out. He found this specialty paper where he wrote me this very beautiful letter about our relationship. And that's the one that's going to be framed. That's the one that no matter what, you know, I'm going to make sure that I keep up with forever and ever. Because that's the one, you know, that really touched my heart. All of them did. Loved all of my gifts. But that was the one that just really was just like, oh, wow, this is great. This is really beautiful.
And you know why? You know why that touched you the way it did? Is because it came strictly from his heart. Even though
right.
that the gifts and all the other things, that he just took some material things and he just passed it on to you. But when you take the time to literally write what you're feeling, that's mm-hmm. an art form. Writing is an art form. So for him to do it and to take the paper, that's the art. Then take the time out to put together his thoughts and whatever he was processing, and then to put that on that special paper, that takes a lot of energy and time to do that. And that's affection. That's another part of affection. So that's why it's those things. And because, and I know that because even as a child, I started writing poetry in the fourth and fifth grade to girls that I like. I used to write them poetry. And so those are the things that they remember, because those are the things that capture them emotionally. It captures their heart. And it's the simplest things in the world. So if you're able to do a combination of the simple things and then still be able to afford the bigger things, then you're in good shape. You're in good shape.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it was just, like I said, the whole sentiment behind it was beautiful. Because, you know, as we all know, it's hard. You know, there are some guys that are just like, oh, my God, it's Valentine's Day again. It's that time. It's that day. And they don't want to do that portion of it. So when you talk about voluntarily going out and doing more, you know, it really does change things. It changes the dynamics, and it speaks volumes to everything around it. So I personally, I just thought that that was, you know, a really great thing to do. So for everybody who's out there giving gifts, no matter what you give, when you give, make sure that it's coming from your heart. Make sure that it's a gift that speaks to the person, you know, that is something that they will appreciate and enjoy, not just that day, but if possible, for many days or even years to come.
So true. So true. This has been awesome. You know, I really like listening to, and I'm sorry that we didn't have any callers to call in. Kevin, we have anybody? Because I'm sure you would have mentioned something by now. We have anybody online?
Not at this time, AJ. I'm thinking most people are listening via the internet, and we'll have to talk about that a little later. But I think the internet, a lot of people are listening via the internet.
Oh, and we can't monitor that?
No, that's what we do. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, in the past, most people were listening through their either through their phone or through their mobile device. And we got to get some folks to call in or to say type in via Twitter to your questions or answers in the future.
Okay. Well, you know what? For those who are listening, it's still a learning something. And I learned a lot from listening to LaShawn, and I can see that you two have a great relationship. I'm still tripping off that 14-day celebration. I think that is so awesome. That is so awesome. I mean, when you first told me that last week, and I was sitting here thinking, I said, wow, that's a lot of room. That's a lot of room to do a lot of different things, you know, in those 14 days. And I'm sitting here thinking, after you get done with that, it's like, do you do that every year? Is that going to be an annual thing, those 14 days? Because that can
Well, you know what's funny about that is I guess someone had asked him that, and he said, nah, I just took care of the next 14 years.
Oh.
Because they asked the same question. They're like, where do you go from there? Is this going to be every year? But the one thing that I can say that I do know is he loves the element of surprise. He loves the just seeing me enjoy life and appreciating things. So whatever it is, whatever it looks like, next year is what it looks like. And my concern, again, is not about 14 days of February or even one day of February. It's how I am treated February 15th all the way through December 31st. That's what made this so important, because if I wasn't being treated right, you know, all the other days of the year, then these last 14 days would not have been as special. So, you know, all it did was reconfirm what's already there. You know, because there's some women that got some really, really nice gifts, but so did the other women. You know, there are some guys, and I've met some women that worked at jewelry stores and said, oh, yeah, I have guys that come in and they buy 4 and 5 of the same gifts so that they can pass them out to, you know, whoever the women are in their lives. And, you know, that happened. So I love knowing that nobody else gets this 14.
There you go.
You know, and just being, you know, and just having it just be us, and so that I can really appreciate it and enjoy the relationship. And it's beautiful. It really is. It's a beautiful thing when you know that you have someone that appreciates you.
Lindbergh, you're a cool brother, Lindbergh. That's all I want to tell you, man. That's coming from AJ. You are a cool brother, man. So all I want to tell you, boy, you have definitely put yourself in a position where you have to be. You're going to be an awesome. You have to be an awesome, awesome husband. But I don't think that's going to be an issue for you. You sound like you, you know, you're definitely on the right track. And you know what? A lot of it has to do. And I'm going to say this for on behalf of Lindbergh. The only reason why he's doing these things is because of how you make him feel. See, he feels good about being who he is, but it's LaShawn, it's how you make him feel is why he's becoming so creative. Because what you're doing, you're tapping into his, you're tapping to that inner, that energy. That inner energy is where our spirit, is where that spirit lies, and that's where we vibrate love. And love is a vibration. And so when you tap into that, you basically have tapped into that source of his where now you're making it easy. You're giving him a path and making it easy for him to be able to love you. And that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So it goes back to you too. So compliments, kudos to you. And LaShawn, hey, big props from, you know, from another brother, my man, because I'm telling you right now, that is creative. And just keep doing what you're doing. I'm gonna tell you right now, you have many, many years of love, and you're going to probably keep dating until you're 90 something years old. So I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
We're going to wrap this up.
You know, you can do it. You know, you and Kevin can do that next year, just so you know.
I was thinking about that 14 days, but I think what I'm going to have to do, I think I'm going to do like a 21 day and be done with it. I think that's what I'm going to do.
You know what? I have high goals for you, AJ. Just go the whole month of February. Just do 28.
I had a feeling you're gonna throw that in there. I was thinking about that. I said, wow, there's 28 more days. That's another week I got to put in there. That's a whole another week.
Once you go that far, what's a whole another week? I mean, come on. It's Black History Month, too. Just roll it all.
That's true. That's true. You got a very good point there. Very good point. Well, you know what? We're going to go into our last break for the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be wrapping it up. I had a great time, and I really wish I'd, you know, we're going to get some callers to call in, but I'm telling you right now, this has been an awesome, awesome show, as usual, and I have an awesome co-host, and let's go into our last break, and we'll wrap it up when we come back.
Max Mobile Pro presents the new Homeless America app. More than a tech company serving the homeless, the new Homeless America app is a movement nationwide. We are a team of professionals motivated by the love of God to search in every corner of the cities across America for the lost and needy and offer them real hope and meaningful support. We build long-term relationships with friends on the street, guiding them to a relationship with Christ that would help them to realize their worth and inspire them to change their lives. The condition of the homelessness afflicts thousands of people in our midst every day. At Homeless America, we believe that the path to a healthy and productive lifestyle should be open to everyone, but none of us finds that path alone.
Homelessness is a symptom of a deeper, broader problem. It's more than just a quick meal and a blanket. The desperate and helpless need hope and healing. They need a new way to live with a changed mindset and a changed heart. Our vision is to help people discover the reasons for their condition and provide the emotional and material resources to live beyond their challenges. At Homeless America, the friends we meet under bridges, street benches, in shelters and bus stops find more than the basics they need to get by for another day or another week. They find the friendship, encouragement, and motivation to take their first steps towards a new, more sustainable way of living, one guided by the light of Christ.
The Homeless America app provides an ample selection of homeless aiding resources right at your fingertips, enabling you to help the homeless in a quick and effective way. Know where your support is needed. The Homeless America app will include resources such as addiction recovery, domestic violence, food resources, medical care, ministry in churches, shelters, along with permanent housing. Download the app today in the Play Store and make a difference in someone's life. God will smile on you.
we got the funk in Dayton. Come join me, your radio host, Alfred Fields, along with my co-host, Miss Donna B., from the Max Mobile App Celebrity Radio Network, for the grand opening celebration of the Funk Music Hall of Fame and Exhibition Center. Come join us on Friday, February 16th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The Funk Music Hall of Fame and Exhibition Center will be on fire. Come join us at the Dayton Metro Library, where the festivities will begin at 215 East 3rd Street.
Enjoy light refreshments and entertainment by local artists, the Dayton Funk All-Stars, Touch, along with DJ Stan the Man from Dayton's own 98.7 FM. This is an RSVP event. Space is limited. Call 937-837-4441.
Once again, call 937-837-4441 or reserve online at info@thefunkcenter.org. Reservations are required no later than February 12, 2018. You can also download the new Funk Center app on Google Play Store and iTunes. We hope to see you there.
Well, we are going to wrap up another edition of the Love Unlimited radio show. And, LaShawn, do you have any shout-outs that you'd like to give out?
All my usual shout-outs to our listeners, to you and Kevin and your families, to all the wonderful people out there who had a great Valentine's Day and those who had a horrible Valentine's Day to you as well. And, of course, to my own family and friends and my fiancé. Shout-out to all of you.
Okay. Well, my shout outs is going to be pretty much the same to all of you listeners and all of your families. And I'm hoping that God is looking out after you, keeping you in sound mind and body as well, to LaShawn's family, Kevin's family. And I'm going to end with a little bit something different this evening. I'm going to talk about the worth of a human life doesn't depend upon its longevity. It depends upon what we do with the time we are allotted, no matter how long or short. It's the dash between the years that makes the difference. I'm your host, AJ, along with my multi-talented host, LaShawn. We had a great time. I hope everybody is still riding out the rest of the month with Valentine wishes. And I hope to see you, hope to hear from you next week and hope that you will call in. And we are so looking forward to hearing some of your stories of your Valentine. So until next week, be safe. Keep loving. And just keep it real with each other. And I'm telling you right now, life is so short. So just love each other and enjoy yourselves. We'll see you next week. Have yourself a great, great evening. And we'll see you next week.
ladies and gentlemen all around the world. Thank you so much for joining AJ and LaShawn on the new Love Unlimited Global Internet Radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, we want you to remember our Twitter account. We want you to, guys, to share this out and follow us on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, at Love UNL Radio on the Twitter account, ladies and gentlemen. That's Love UNL Radio. Please put that out on all your social media networks, ladies and gentlemen, and join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for joining us, and take care of yourself, and we'll give you guys a hand clap as we take you out. Take care now. We'll see you.